Welcome to week 6 of Remarkable Relationships. It is Tamara here, if you've just dialed in. If you have been doing all of your home play and going deep into your beliefs, you will be starting to feel your life shift from a place of fear to a place of love, which is ultimately the aim of this course. As children, we are taught to be good girls or good boys, and we were deemed good if we did the chores or we got good grades or we performed well. The good was conditional of our behaviour. We were not taught that regardless of our behaviour, we are good. At our core, we are good. Very few of us had unconditional approval, unconditional love, and not because we were raised by bad parents, but because that's how they were raised and their parents before them. It was essentially the people who loved us the most who taught us to struggle to indulge in fear. And this is what is so powerful about the belief clearing. It gives us the power to end the struggle and to move from the fear into love. Examining the past can help clarify many of our problems. But healing doesn't happen in the past. It happens in the present. There is almost a trend these days for blaming the events of our childhood for our current despair and our current shitty circumstances. What the ego doesn't want us to see is that our pain doesn't come from the love that we weren't given in the past, but from the love we ourselves aren't giving in the present. Every moment we have a chance to change our past and our future by reprogramming in the present. What you'll start to notice after clearing beliefs for a while is that when the darkness shows up, as we will be challenged from time to time, that's how we grow, you won't believe it anymore. The darkness will no longer resonate with who you are. You won't identify with it. Those fleeting moments of darkness keep us learning and growing, but they no longer unhinge us because we know how to dissolve the ego and return to love. So the aim in life is not to stay connected to your true self every moment of every day. The aim is to notice when you lose that connection, when you stray into a fear space, and simply acknowledge it without judging so that you can bring yourself back into that loving space of the heart, the safety and warmth of your true self. So before we get started on tonight's topic of naked love, let's hear how you all went removing your core beliefs. So if you'd like to share any insights you got or have any questions that you'd like answered, please just press *2 to raise your hand. And just remember that to share is to help not only yourself but the others on the call. You know, I know some of you had a few struggles during the week. Just before we got on the line, everyone was talking about how their egos were having a field day. So please just press *2 to share any struggles, any wins, what's been happening for you, where are you stuck. And who do I have there?
Jess.
Jess, did you have a question or did you want to share?
I actually did have a question. I noticed when I was trying to remove one of my core beliefs that a lot of other little beliefs kept popping up. And I wasn't able to remove the core belief until I went and removed the other little beliefs first.
Yeah, so what you did was perfect. What can often happen is sometimes we can't quite go deep into a belief if there are other beliefs that need to be removed. And so what you experienced was a really great process. And so did you have any struggles with that, or did you just want to check to make sure that that was okay?
I was just a bit confused because I thought it was funny that the core belief wouldn't shift until I removed smaller beliefs.
Yep. So what can often happen is I always suggest go straight to the core beliefs because that will knock out all of the surface beliefs and it's a much quicker process. That said, sometimes we are so attached and so that belief is so cemented in that it's really hard to budge, and by removing some of those surface beliefs, it actually makes it easier to remove that core belief. Does that make sense?
Yep. I also had another question.
Yeah,
how do you know if you've gone deep enough or if it's your ego afterwards trying to sabotage, saying the beliefs come back?
Okay, so how do you know if you've gone deep enough and if the So is it when you finish belief removing that you go into your day and you feel like the beliefs come back?
Yeah, towards the end of the day. Even though I know when I went deep enough, I felt the shift then.
Yep. So that says to me that, okay, maybe you got a bit of a shift and you got some learnings which are helping to really loosen that belief, but maybe you didn't go quite deep enough. And so my suggestion would be the next day, go deeper on that belief and see where it takes you.
Okay.
Yeah, because once that belief is gone, it can't replay, if that makes sense. So when you go to go back into that old behavior or that old thinking pattern, it won't come to you. It's like you're trying to imagine you've got like a filing cabinet full of files, and you've got one that says, I'm not good enough. And so you go to reach for that filing cabinet to pull out that file of I'm not good enough, but it's not there anymore. And
yeah,
you can't access it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Awesome. Great questions. So any wins you wanted to share this week?
I found with identifying, I already knew some of my other beliefs that need to be removed, mm-hmm. but I found when I went straight to the core one, it told me straight away which belief needed to be removed now.
Awesome.
Beautiful. Like, for example, my biggest struggle is the core belief change takes time. But as soon as I went deep enough in that, I discovered that I still see change as a bad thing. So until I removed that it wasn't, it's no longer bad or hard, then it shifted that change doesn't take time.
Awesome. Perfect. And when it comes to change, that's one that I really encourage everyone to have a really good feeling to, because if you have beliefs around change, then it's going to stop you from creating the change that you're after. And so that's why it is listed in the core beliefs. It really is something you want to explore and make that your priority, because then as soon as you know that change happens easily and effortlessly and you're not scared of change anymore, then all of the beliefs are going to shift that much quicker. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing, Jess.
Thank you.
So essentially our heart is our center of feeling, and by contrast, our head is the center of thinking and the center of ego or negative emotions and thoughts. Now, I'm sure you'd agree, a happy and fulfilled life is enjoyed through positive feelings and positive thoughts. So this is why knowing how to access your heart space is crucial. By learning to follow our heart, we learn to utilize our heart intelligence, which guides us to make wise choices in all areas of our life. Because the heart is the center of our deepest self, sometimes we will be a little surprised by what we find when we tune into it. So the secret to getting the true answers is to be allowing. Don't judge or anticipate you will get a particular answer. Don't try and sway the answer to be something that you consciously want. Sometimes we will get answers we may not necessarily want in that moment. Be assured you will never be given any information you're not ready to work through, so be open to receiving the information that's needed so that you can clear out the gunk in its many disguises. The reality that we live is a mirror image of how closely we follow our heart. It is a direct reflection of how connected to ourselves we truly are. The problem is, in today's world, we are taught to think logically and take a very thinking approach to life as opposed to a feeling approach to life. We're in our head instead of in our heart. Like I've said, thinking is fine as long as it comes under the influence of the heart. Even if you do believe in this knowing part of yourself, it's all too easy to ignore that part of you. So this is about truly embodying your heart, your true self, or you may like to call it your essence or your soul. Our true self loves and accepts us. It does not judge, criticize, or mock us, because at its core, our true self is pure love. We beneath the layers of gunk are pure love. When we're being our true self, we don't pay attention to the opinions, ideas, beliefs, rules, or trends given to us by external sources such as the media, politicians, fashion magazines, doctors, or spiritual gurus. We don't seek approval, validation, or acceptance from external sources. We know that true power comes from inside of us, the only real guru in your life right now is inside of you, your true self. And embodying and living from the inside out is what it means to be your true self. So I invite you to take one full minute to sit in silence and simply contemplate what it means to live as your true self. So simply be with your true self now and just allow yourself to experience that space and what it means to live in that place of unconditional love. Simply connect in with the love, being in that state of love, and whatever you experience over the next minute is perfect. Feels nice, yeah? The soul, our true self, is the vibration of love. So it makes sense that in order to experience ourselves as our true self, we must learn to love ourselves. Now, true self-love is about loving yourself despite the struggles, despite the stories you've made up about yourself, despite the fear-driven behaviors. Self-love is loving all of you unconditionally. Self-love is the answer to fixing the pain, the scarcity, the challenges, the fear people experience way too often. Yet when we're able to fully love ourselves, we become vehicles for great healing and transformation because we're able to connect to everyone and everything. We see no difference between them and us. We no longer have a separate self and the ego dissolves. Love is the ultimate healer and transformer. Love really is the glue that sticks everything else together. That's why it's so important we talk about love. Now, people assign many different meanings to the word love. We speak of loving material objects such as jewelry and cars. We love food. We love our family, our partner. Some of us even fall in love with the idea of love. Now, if all that's not confusing enough, we also use love to explain behavior. You might hear someone say, "I did it because I love her." For human beings to survive, they need air, water, food, shelter, and the opportunity to love and be loved. Inside every person, there is an emotional tank that operates best, gives us our best performance when it's full of love. When a person really feels love, they're happy and content and at peace. When they don't, when their love tank is empty, they seek love from outside sources, whether it be other people, drinking, sex, eating, drugs. How many people on the line are in love with chocolate? Who runs to the cookie jar or the wine racks for consoling after a major disappointment? Or even just a little one. If someone is lacking in lack, they may feel alienated, lonely, fearful, depressed, cut off, and have a sense that life is passing you by. That's what happens when we feel like we're lacking love. You'll struggle to feel warmth, tenderness, and affection. So what is love? We've heard it all before. Love makes the world go round. Thousands of books, songs, and movies are peppered with the word love. Numerous theosophical and theological systems have made a prominent place for love. When love is present, everything is secure. Everything feels good. when love is absent, everything falls apart and we're taken over by negative thoughts and emotions. What you need to know is love is your base state. It's what you are at your core. It is, we've grown up, we've become disconnected from that love, hence why we start to seek love outside of ourselves. So this week is all about helping you reconnect with the love inside of you, because I can assure you it's there, and if you're not feeling it, it's only because you've become numb to it. Love, as I've mentioned before, is the opposite of fear. If there is love present, negative emotions cannot exist. Negative emotions are simply your gunk, your limiting beliefs, which left to fester can sabotage you and your actions and thus your relationships, both personal and professional. Yet these fear-driven thoughts and behaviours cannot come out to play if love is present. When Michelangelo was asked how he created a sculpture, he answered that the statue already existed within the marble. So is it with us. Love is what is inside of us. We are all amazingly wonderful, beautiful, intelligent, caring, loving people. We just need to carve away the barriers, clear those limiting beliefs that stop us seeing ourselves for who we truly are. Love. Love also has a lot to do with our overall well-being and can be likened to a potent drug that heals the mind, body, and soul. People in love are less likely to become ill, and if they do get sick, their recovery is generally a lot quicker. This is because when in a state of love, the body naturally heals. It reorders the cells to their healthy base state. Hence why staying in your love wrap, in that loving space of your true self, will actually improve not only your mental health, but your physical health too. Dr. Dean Ornish helped conduct a study at Yale University that looked at patients undergoing coronary angiography. Those who felt the most loved and supported had fewer blockages in their heart arteries than the other subjects. This is solid scientific evidence that clearly proves that those who love more are happier and healthier, and they actually live longer. And I'm not just talking about romantic love, but all aspects of love. You hear stories of people dying of a broken heart, especially elderly people who lose their lifelong partner. Sadly, they often die soon after their partner passes away. If we do take a look at falling in love, it creates an emotional high unmatched to any other means of healing. When two people are attracted to each other, a virtual explosion of adrenaline-like neurochemicals gush forth. That explains why new lovers feel euphoric and energized and sometimes float on air. It's also why new lovers can make love for hours and talk all night for weeks on end without feeling fatigued. One problem with this so-called chemical explosion is that people can become love junkies. They become addicted to the chemical high they get from falling in love. Once this initial rush of chemicals wanes, what we often label as the honeymoon period, their relationship crumbles and they seek out a new partner. They look for the next hit, the next supplier, instead of creating their own neurochemical love soup. Where we humans trip up is we look for love in all the wrong places. You don't need to leave home to find love. In fact, the only place you need to look is inside yourself. As you're aware, you can get all the answers you need by looking inside and connecting to your true self. The same goes for love. It comes from the inside. Your true self is love. When you are fully connected to your true self, you do not need anything or anyone. Binge eating, which is really, really common, is due to a lack of love. The craving that we experience is not for food, it's for love. That's why it doesn't matter how yummy and decadent the food you fill yourself up with, you never feel satisfied because you're not giving yourself what you're really craving. And the same goes for smoking, drinking, gambling, all of those addictive type behaviours. When you're tuned into your true self, you naturally do things that top up your own personal love tank that make you feel lighter, more connected, and more able to enjoy your day and your interactions. If your love tank is running on empty, it's much like a car that is running out of fuel. It won't get you very far. If you think for a moment that we operate on love, that love is our fuel to get us through the day in the most enjoyable and peaceful way, you can understand why we need to be switched on to that internal source. Now you might think, hold on, shouldn't I be giving love to other people? That's absolutely fine once you're tuned into your own love source and your own love tank is overflowing. Just imagine that car again, and you're about to run out of petrol. If you give your last bit of petrol to someone else, what happens to your car? It doesn't move. You remain stuck. We need to give to ourselves before we can fully give to others. And this does often come up when I work with parents. They're putting all their time and energy into their children that they're running on empty. And when they're running on empty, they're more likely to break down. And by that, I mean get cranky, not pay attention on the roads, make mistakes or get sick, suffer postnatal depression and so forth. When this happens, you know that person is not coming from a space of love. They've disconnected from it. And someone operating in this way is no use to anyone because what they're giving to others isn't coming from that calm, loving space. So I'm sure by now you're starting to understand why it's so important to love you, not in an egotistical way, but in a way that allows you to look after you and do what's best for you, a way that allows you to see your own worth, your own beauty. Self-love in its purest form allows you to be you without worrying what others think of you or comparing yourself to others, knowing that you simply are love. Complete and whole and happy just as you are, irrespective of the people around you or your material possessions or professional standing. You see, the relationship you have with yourself, it sets the platform for how you live your life. If you're able to fall madly and deeply in love with you, that love filters out into every area of your life, your relationships with others, your career, even your finances. Take your health, for example. If you're totally in love with you, there's no way you'd eat 3 donuts for breakfast. You know they lack the nutritional value to keep you going. High sugar foods drain you of energy, leaving you feeling lethargic and unable to perform at your best. Ultimately, by eating such foods, you are poisoning your body. Would you poison someone you loved? Probably not. Well, I hope not anyway. Look at your interactions with others. If you loved yourself completely, you wouldn't care what other people think of you because you would know deep down that you're superbly amazing. No longer would you feel judged. Even when you go for a job interview, imagine the confidence you would exude if you loved yourself 100%, knowing that you are the person for that particular role. Put simply, the key to happiness and fulfillment is to fall in love with yourself unconditionally. That is the answer. Fall in love with you and your whole world changes. And this happens easily when you understand that you are love. It's already there. Closing your heart destroys your peace because it is alien to our nature. We are beings of love, and to go against that is to go against who we are. And when we go against who we are met with fear, pain, and struggle. The places in our personality where we tend to deviate from love are not our faults, but our wounds. And through tuning in and clearing beliefs and dedicating ourselves to love, we can heal ourselves and our life. You simply need to be willing to surrender your old ways of thinking about yourself. So who on the line can say they are 100% totally and madly in love with themselves? And if not, then now is the time to fall in love with you. And I'm going to help you do that. What we're looking for is that electric feeling you get when you fall in love. You know how you might get goosebumps when you meet somebody special? You need to be able to give yourself goosebumps. So simply relaxing wherever you are, centering yourself in the present moment. Simply become aware of your body, how you feel physically and emotionally. And when you're ready, simply take a deep breath in. And as you exhale, gently closing your eyes. That's it, just relaxing and continuing to breathe at your own steady pace. That's right, just inhaling love and exhaling fear. Feeling more and more relaxed with each deep breath. Now simply imagine you're in a forest, a big forest full of lush trees and green foliage, and you're walking through this forest. And as you walk deeper and deeper into that forest, you feel the breeze on your cheeks. So just notice now how that makes you feel. And maybe you can hear birds in the distance chirping away. And you wonder, what could those birds be saying? And as you continue to wander through the forest, you come to a river. You reach down and put your hand in the river. It's cold, freezing actually. You pull your hand back from the intense cold and moving your attention now, you notice a beautiful garden on the other side of the river. So beautiful is this garden, you look for a way to cross that freezing river. As you start to walk upstream, you see a set of stepping stones. There are five of them and they lead to the other side, the side where that exquisite garden is. And you really want to visit that garden because you get this feeling that there's something waiting for you. A gift, perhaps. A gift that could change your life. So feeling safe and secure, you step onto the first stone. And as you do, you feel instantly at peace. You step onto the second stone now, all your cares and worries fading away. Taking another step, you relax even more, feeling more and more at peace. Stepping onto the fourth step, it's as though you're entering a new world. Taking the fifth step now, you smile, knowing you are almost there, almost to that beautiful garden. Then taking the final step, you reach the river's edge. And walk into the most heavenly place you've ever visited. It's like an oasis, utopia. As you begin to explore, you notice the trees swaying in the breeze, and below them, there are beds of flowers, bright flowers, tall flowers, small flowers, the most amazing colors you've ever seen. And as you look over to the far corner, there is a plant you've never seen before. It's stunning. It's like that plant is glowing. It's talking to you. It wants you to come over. So swept away by its beauty, you walk over to that plant right now. That's right. You walk right up to that plant. And as you admire the angelic plant, you feel enchanted. Charmed by its magnificence, and it makes you want to touch it, to feel its energy radiate through you. And as you reach out to touch that plant, you notice it's growing fruit. And that fruit is shaped like a heart. And you get a sense that the fruit is ripe and ready to be devoured. And you know intuitively this fruit is full of goodness and will nourish you on all levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So right now, taking that fruit in your hand, that's right, taking that piece of heart-shaped fruit, you put it to your lips and you take a bite. As the fruit enters your mouth, it brings your taste buds to life. The flavor is sublime. You've never tasted anything like it. It's extraordinary, so extraordinary that as it travels down into your stomach, you feel comforting warmth spread through your body. And it's like that fruit, that exquisite delight, is infiltrating into your bloodstream, flowing straight to your heart. And as it reaches your heart, you know this fruit is the fruit of love. That's right, this fruit of love is now inside you, inside your heart, topping you up with an abundance of unconditional love. And that love continues to grow stronger and stronger with each heartbeat. And as it does, you realize this love was always inside of you. It is who you are. And this fruit has simply helped you remember that. It has helped activate that love, has helped get it flowing again. The love continues to expand, and as you take a deep breath in, that love engulfs your heart, and you realize it is your heart, and it is now radiating that deep unconditional love that completes you, makes you feel whole, gives you all the happiness you'll ever need. On the next heartbeat, that abundance of unconditional love starts to circulate through your arteries, the heart pumping that love into every area of your body. And you feel the warmth of it spread all the way from your head to your toes. That's right. Feel the love reaching every organ, every cell of every limb. And as it does, you know that your love for yourself is growing, expanding, taking over your entire body. Every time the love returns to your heart, it intensifies, getting stronger and stronger before making its way around your body. It continues to circulate, the love growing with each cycle. Just take a deep breath in. And as you exhale, simply notice that love. How does it make you feel? What thoughts are you now telling yourself? Just allow the love to keep circulating until you feel 100% pure love. Now feeling full of love, you know that it's time to leave that garden. You've received the gift that was waiting for you. And you know that gift will stay with you. That love now pumping through your body is a part of you. It always was. And it will be there always to give you the happiness and fulfillment that is rightly yours. So wiggling your fingers and toes, which are now full of unconditional love, simply take a deep breath in. And as you exhale, smile and open your eyes, ready to live your life deeply and madly in love with you. Welcome back. So the thing I want you to focus on this week is topping up your love tank. How do we do that? Well, I'm assuming most of you have probably been on a date or two. How was it? Did it give you goosebumps? Or was it a complete disaster that left you wondering why you even left the house? As you may have read in my book, Getting Naked, The Dating Game, I have been on my fair share of dates. A dozen or so dates down, and I started to wonder, what would it be like to date me? Would I be interesting enough to hold my own attention? Was I fun to be around? Would I find me attractive? And what could I do that would turn me off me? All these questions, how could I gain the answers besides surveying every guy I'd dated? I thought long and hard before it dawned on me. I could date myself. Okay, some of you might be laughing. But taking yourself on a date isn't as silly as it may sound. Dating yourself, as I discovered, is a very insightful experience. It allows you to see the person you've become and make changes so you can return to who you really are at your core, the true you, the you who always acts out of love. And if you're willing to go there, it really can be a good eye-opener. So I decided to go all out on one of my dates, make a day of it. I cooked myself a scrumptious breakfast, reading a book in the sunshine. A massage was followed by a picnic in the Botanic Gardens where I bought myself some flowers. A movie later, and I was eating dinner in a very decadent organic dessert in a trendy little cafe. Yes, all of this on my own. As I headed home for a relaxing bath, I thought to myself, what a wonderful day, and how I'd like to do it again sometime. So now you're probably really laughing, either that or you're thinking it's time for the straitjacket. No loony bin needed. That date made me appreciate who I am and what I have to offer other people in all my relationships. It gave me time to reflect on all my positive attributes and any not so great attributes. It gave me a real and honest awareness of what it was like to date me. Once loaded with that information, I was able to look at the beliefs that were creating any gunky behaviors so I could clear them and be a more attractive me, a more loving me, not just to others, but to myself. You see, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks of you. If you love yourself 100%, you're going to win admirers and plenty of them. People like to spend time with those who have self-love and self-belief because secretly they hope some of it will rub off on them. So how do you date you? Easy. Think of something you love to do, or even better, plan to do something you've never done before. Be adventurous. Think outside the box. Really get creative. Put the date in your diary as you would a date with someone else. Make it a priority. This is about you putting yourself first, giving yourself love. And don't think that's selfish. As I said before, you are giving to yourself, so you have more to give to others. Consider the last time you went up in a plane. Remember the safety check at the start of the flight? In the case of an emergency, you were probably told to put the oxygen mask on yourself before helping anyone else. Why is that? Because you're no good to anyone else unless you're breathing. Well, the same goes for self-love. You cannot give love to anyone else until you're giving love to yourself. So you're on your date. How's it going for you? Are you enjoying yourself? Or are you bored out of your brain? If you're bored, why is that? Is that something you need to work on? What do you need to clear so you can feel more interesting, to fully own your quirks and be proud of them? What would you need to change about your behaviors and how you do life in order to be that inspiring, passionate person you would love to date? Who would keep you enthralled for the entirety of your time together so much that you're lining up the next date before this one's even ended. Are you convinced yet? If not, then ask yourself, what's stopping you from giving it a go? What puts you off spending time with you? Are you scared of what you might discover? Don't be. Awareness is the first step. Once we know our problem areas, we're able to clear the beliefs that are creating those negative or unloving behaviors. It's only those people who refuse to look at themselves, pimples and all, who let themselves down, who remain stuck, repeating the same pattern. Doing loving things for yourself helps you automatically connect in with your internal source of love. As I've said a number of times tonight, love is within you. You simply need to start giving yourself permission to feel that love, be it. Once you do, then you can bask in love all of the time, and I encourage you to do so because it's physically and mentally healing and helps you live a more authentic life that flows with ease. So, if anyone has any questions about love and what I've discussed thus far, now is your time to ask. Otherwise, we will continue on. But if you do have any questions, please just press star 2. Nope. Everyone's good. Beautiful. So, I'm just going to give you a moment simply to connect with your true self. So, just take a deep breath in. And let it go. Just allow yourself to do your love wrap so you can connect into your heart, your true self. So just do that now. So the aim of this week is to bring to your awareness the importance of operating with a full love tank. So once you feel nice and connected, I just want you to ask your true self, from 0 to 100, how full is my love tank right now? And just see what number you get. So simply ask that question now, how full is my love tank, the first number that pops in. And once you have the answer, you'll find space on page 3 of your play sheet to write that down. Simply writing down that number. And the next question I want you to ask is, what do I need to do this week to fill up my love tank? I'll give you a moment now just to ask that question. What do I need to do this week to top up my love tank? Just allow whatever needs to flow onto the page to simply flow onto the page. The answers that you get will form the start of your home play this week. You might get one thing, you might get 10 things. Just take your time and write them all down, just allowing those answers to come to you. If you're someone with body image insecurities, giving yourself a self-love massage is really beautiful and nurturing. As you rub oils into your body, simply imagine rubbing love into yourself. And you want to spend more time rubbing love into those areas you dislike the most. It's really easy to fall into the trap of identifying with the body and seeing its appearance as an indication of your lovability. This is where you need to remind yourself that you are not your body at all. You are the love that is inside of you, and it is this love alone that determines your value, your beauty, your brilliance. Focus on the love, and any weight that is not authentically for you will drop off. You quite literally want to love the weight away. When you realize that your weight and your appearance have nothing to do with your body but all to do with your mind, then you can free yourself of its hold on you. Another really good exercise to do is spend 2 minutes in the morning looking in the mirror and really admiring how beautiful or handsome you are, simply connecting in with your eyes. Realize that everyone is different, so what works for one person may not work for another. I'll just give you another minute just to get your self-love home play. If nothing else is coming through, just use this time to ask, when is the best time to action these home play steps? In addition to that, I'm going to set you two mandatory home play tasks. The first is sending yourself a love card. Now, if I've got you to do this before, that's okay. I want you to do it again. You can never send yourself too many love cards. For those who don't know what a love card is, let me explain. I want you to buy or make yourself a really beautiful card and write a message in it to yourself. Just imagine you're writing it to a best friend, and you want to tell them how amazing they are physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, but instead you're writing it to yourself. You might like to connect into your true self to come up with the exact words. We tend to give other people compliments and praise, but how often do we give ourselves a pat on the back? This is like an extension of the love journal you started in week one. Once you've written your love card, I want you to actually post it to yourself. Now, this isn't about walking to your letterbox and then checking it an hour later. I actually want you to put a stamp on it, take it to the post office and send it. Wait for it to arrive and then just notice how you feel when you open it. This week's big task, however, is to take yourself on a date. Plan something special for the most important person in your life, you. Don't skimp on the trimmings. Go all out. Spoil yourself as you would a lover. Put in as much effort as you would if you're trying to impress a first date. Be the dater and the datee all rolled into one. It's only when you can date you and truly love the experience that you're able to really understand your own worth and value. Now, it's vital you do this because next week we'll be doing some exercises that you won't be able to complete unless you've gone on your date. So this needs to be made a priority. Even if you do have a busy week, as an absolute bare minimum, set up some candles at home, cook yourself a nice dinner, maybe get a movie and relax in your own company. Of course, if you can make a full day of activities like I did, that would be fantastic, but at the least, plan some sort of date with yourself. Hopefully you've all listened to the Dating Yourself audio that I sent out in your email. That should provide some inspiration for your date and give you a bit of insight as to what's on offer when you do date yourself, so please make sure you listen to that. So let's just recap. You're going to go on a date with you, frills and all. You're going to send yourself a love card. And you're going to do at least two self-love exercises. If you're struggling with any of this, it might be time to book in for your one-on-one session if you haven't already. If you have already used your troubleshooting session, you can book in for a one-off session. And I think I have sent all the details out, or I'll send those out again. Now, if there is some resistance with these exercises, please tune in and ask what beliefs need to be cleared in order to be able to do this week's home play. And now that you've had plenty of practice with your tuning in, start using it in your everyday life. Let your true self be your stylist and tune in on what you'll be wearing each day. I know when I first started tuning in, I was very much a jeans girl and often dressed more like a boy, until I realized I had beliefs making me feel like I needed to be boyish in order to be accepted by my dad. Once I cleared this, once this came to my conscious awareness, my true self guided me to start wearing more skirts and dresses and be more accepting of being a woman, of expressing my femininity. So tuning in on your clothes is a really simple way of practicing tuning in on the spot, because ultimately you want to get to the point where you can tune in out in public in random situations, so you can make sure all of your decisions are coming from the heart and not from your head. You can't just have a casual relationship with your true self. You need to go all the way. And when I say that, I mean really working these skills you've learned into your life. Don't get a good feeling about that guy you just met. Tune in and find out why. Not sure which route to take to work? Tune in and find out. Your true self will guide you through life in the most loving and pleasurable way if you take the time to listen. When you're living from a place of love as opposed to fear, when you're more heart connected, you can draw in what you want as opposed to using force to get what you want. Love is what awakens your true self. All everyone is seeking is themselves. People run from themselves. We rob ourselves of ourselves by not listening to ourselves. And of course, also as home play, you do have your visualization track to listen to each night this week, and that one is called Mirror Mirror, probably one of my favorite ones. Now, I know it can feel a little strange to spoil yourself in such a generous way, but it's this self-love, this investment in you, that will help you see your own worth and value. Once you value yourself, others will value you too. Other people are just a mirror reflection of what's going on inside of you. If you have a belief that you're not good enough, you will attract situations and experiences with others that validate this belief. Once you start to change your internal belief system, your external world changes. I have clients come to me after a few sessions of belief clearing saying, "I've been stopped in the street and told how pretty I am." These people haven't changed anything about how they physically look. What has changed is how they feel about themselves and how they see themselves. It's the energy that people pick up on. People can spot a beautiful soul a mile away. They may not really know why they think that person is beautiful. They just feel it. I also want you to continue with your morning tuning into your true self, asking those four questions and clearing beliefs as they come up. This is something you want to be doing for the rest of your life. Don't see it as a chore, see it as a morning ritual. Just as you eat breakfast to give you the energy to get through the day, your morning tuning will give you the steps you need to create everything you'd like in your life. Just like tuning a musical instrument will make it sound nicer, tuning into yourself will make us have a nicer day. You now have the most amazing tools. Don't put them in the shed to gather dust. And whatever you do, never, ever cheat on yourself. And when I say that, I mean don't take someone else's beliefs or opinions over what your own true self knows to be true. Until you become your own best friend, your own lover of you, you won't create the life you love. Back yourself, listen to your heart, and allow yourself to honor what your truth is. Now, before we finish up, does anyone have any final questions, or would someone like to share a best bit of tonight's session? Just press star 2 to raise your hand. Is everyone excited about their date with themselves? Does anyone want to share what they're planning to do? Just press star 2. If you want to share a best bit, if you have a question. or is everyone just busting to get off the phones and they can start loving themselves more? Who's going to share? And who do I have there?
Oh, hi, Tamara. It's Karen Lee here.
Hi, Karen Lee. How'd you go?
Good. I just thought I'd say the best bit, that I always feel lighter after I've connected with myself. Doesn't matter whether it's the visualizations we do in the class or whether I do it outside of it, but in the morning or whenever. But I always feel lighter afterwards. And it's
beautiful.
Good.
Awesome. And do you find that it's fairly easy to connect back in with your true self throughout the day?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. The thing is, once the more you do this sort of self-love work, so the more visualizations you do, the more you love wrap, the more beliefs you clear, the easier it is to reconnect with yourself. And so that's why I'm encouraging everyone to really, you know, surround yourself with all of this loving stuff, you know, keep listening to these sessions over and over again, because that's what's going to really cement it all in, so then that you can embody that and feel that lightness that you were talking about. Yeah. Nice. Thank you so much, Karen Lee.
That's okay.
All I want to say is never be afraid of love. And whenever love knocks on the door, don't hesitate to open it. When we open our hearts, we deepen our connection to our true self. The deepest peace and love that is available to us in our earthly existence is in the core of our hearts. Don't be fooled into thinking we need to seek it from external sources. When it comes down to it, giving yourself permission to love yourself. I know it sounds fluffy, but self-love really is at the core of everything that we do. So that does bring me to the end of week 6. Enjoy dating yourself. As you'll find out, it can be really fun. And you may find yourself wanting to make it a regular event. So have a great week, and I will leave you with this quote. Love yourself, for if you don't, how can you expect anyone else to love you? So thank you, everyone, and have a really beautiful night.